Oh, praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. This is chapter 22 of Numbers. That's where we're at right now. It's the fourth book of Moses. And it has to do with Balak sending Balaam. Now, Balak was sending Balaam to curse Israel. And Balaam is just like so many Christians today that have sold out to the Vatican, to the Antichrist. Balak, you could liken him as to the Pope, Balak rather, and he's sending Balaam, he goes to Balaam, and it's supposed to be a born of the Spirit Christian. He's a prophet, and he's telling him, go and curse Israel. Call on God and do it. So he takes money from the Balak and starts praying to God to curse Israel. And the Lord says, no, I won't curse Israel. I'm going to bless them. And so he goes back to Balak, to the Pope, so to speak, and tells him, no, God, I can't do anything other than what God says that I can do. And so later on, he tells him to do it again. And here this person, this Balaam that listens to the Pope, Balak, goes and tries again to get the people of the Lord cursed. And then he comes back with the same answer. And so, later on, in another chapter, Balaam, who is supposed to be of the Lord, his prophet, he goes to Balak and tells him, look, I know how God will curse him. Send in all the prostitutes. When they win a victory over here, and they're all rejoicing, and they'll commit adultery and fornication, and then God will curse them. So God had Balaam put to death. They're supposed to be born of the Spirit. He wasn't of the Spirit, but led by the Spirit, Balaam. And so it's quite an interesting story. And people ask, you know, people that are not mature in faith and are not mature in the knowledge and the wisdom of God, they say, well, why did God kill Balaam? He was a prophet. Because he conspired with Balak and the people of that clan, that the ones where the whores were, showed them how God would curse Israel. So, Father God, we ask that you pour out your Spirit and make this chapter very understandable. And we see a bunch of Christians doing that today. People that call themselves Christians, but have joined the Antichrist. They run to the Antichrist beast government and bring and give them counsel of how they can destroy the people of the Lord. And they'll even stand as witnesses in trials against the people of the Lord. But none of these ever come to any good end any more than Balaam did. Balaam was killed, and his execution was ordered. The Jews killed him. And it was approved and condoned by God Almighty. God Almighty also tells us, in the book of Deuteronomy, that if anyone murders anybody, that you're not to have any mercy on them, you're to immediately kill them. You're to take them to trial and kill them. And if anyone tries to blame somebody for murder falsely, or any crime falsely, they're to take them before the council of the judges, and they're to carefully examine their story, and the story of the one that they're falsely accusing. And when they come to the conclusion of who was, that these false accusers were the ones that were trying to get somebody put to death, or were trying to get somebody to where they would have to pay a horrible retribution, then the penalty of what would have happened to the person that they were falsely accusing falls upon them. If they were falsely accusing somebody of murder, then they must pay the penalty for murder. And the falsely accused person is to go free. And that's what this Balaam did, is he was instructing the devil, the people of Satan, how to make it to where Israel would sin and therefore be cursed, and they were cursed for doing it. So, Father God, we ask that you bless this and teach us the lessons that you teach in these verses, in this chapter, and then follow every chapter, every following chapter, as you have the chapters before, so that it gives us the power, the strength, your power, your spirit, to stand another day in this wicked world we're surrounded by. Violence, and everyone's filled with fear because of terrorism that is coming from the hub of all wickedness, which is Rome, the city of the seven hills, where the Vatican sits right smack in the middle of it, just as the Bible said that the Antichrist, Satan's seat, would be right there. And Lord, we ask that you bring to our consciousness all these things. And we ask it in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone says, amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Okay. Numbers chapter 22, verse 1. Okay.
Yes. Balak sending Balaam, King James Version. And the children of Israel set forward and pitched in the plains of Moab, on this side Jordan by Jericho. Verse 2. And Balak the son of Zippor saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites.
Now this is Balak, which is the equivalent of the Pope today. Balak saw that. All right, then what else?
Verse 3, and Moab was sore afraid of the people, because they were many. And Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel.
And not only were they many, but they believed in the law of God. Today we have a society that nobody fears the law of God, and so therefore we have a lawless Antichrist society. People commit adultery and fornication, and they, even with their eyes, they lust against, even against what Jesus said. If you look at a person in adultery, then you have committed adultery. And there's no getting around it. You may just put yourself in not a New York state of mind, but a innocent state of mind, but that isn't going to work at the judgment bar of God. You are guilty. Read that verse again.
And Moab was sore afraid of the people because they were many.
Right, and so the people, like we have people like President Clinton and lesbian Janet Reno, they say we take full responsibility for the slaughter, the massacre over at Waco. And they didn't get taken to trial and killed immediately like the Bible says that they should have been. Why do you think they wanted to get rid of the Bible? Because the Bible doesn't make them immune. The law of God affects everybody. And so President Clinton wants to make everybody a cult that believes that murderers should be put to death. Bush wants to do away with the Word of God because he says he's going to enforce the ways of the Pope. Because they don't believe that murderers should be put to death. And the 19th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy says, not only are they to be put to death, but they are not to do it and not have any mercy on them whatsoever, with an exclamation mark. Do not have mercy. Well, they say, well, doesn't God say have mercy? Right here he tells you, do not have mercy on people that keep sinning all the time. Don't have mercy on them. That's what he says. Amen?
Amen.
Because they murder, and they must be killed. Otherwise, there's going to be a lawless society. And we have people in the world now that just think, well, murderers don't have to be killed. They don't have to be put to death, as the Lord commands, with an exclamation mark. So the world is now an unsafe place for people to live. And the people that are in hell, when the spirit of Satan is thrown down there with all of his vicars, the people look at him narrowly and say, are you the one that caused the world, the people of the world, to tremble? They're trembling now because of the terror that they have caused in this world. And also that have destroyed the cities? Isn't that exactly what's happening today?
Yes.
People are so afraid they don't even want to come out of their houses anymore. I know that when the big terror was on, where they're terrifying the people of the world, people, we used to go down to the mall, and I was down there, and there wasn't a soul in this big cafeteria down there, and it used to be packed during lunchtime, and they had all this food prepared, and there was only me and my friend with me I said, well, we get the pick of the whole crop. I guess people should be afraid because they know that God is not going to fight for them because they agree. They've been deceived by the beast, by the Pope and his followers, and they agree that they want to live in terror, to be terrified, and they want these people to destroy the cities of all the nations. These people have been guilty of all the world wars. They've been guilty of the Spanish Inquisition. They've been guilty of Pearl Harbor. They've been guilty of the World Trade Center. They've been guilty of the massacre, many massacres. It's so many of them that it's as the sands of the sea. They're guilty of the federal building over in Oklahoma City, the bombings there. Federal people were seen going in and out of there, and they went in real fast before the bomb went out and took their own children out of there, but they didn't warn anybody else. So they murder people, and they take part in the murdering of it. And they don't stop it like Bush could have. And then they say that there's weapons of mass destruction, and so therefore let's go over and kill hundreds of thousands of people. Do you think that God is going to allow this stuff to go on? It's obvious that the people of the world are lawless. They become lawless. They say that which is good is evil, and that which is evil is good. Just like Balak here. Let's curse the good people. Let's take away Bibles because the Bibles condemn us devils. We're devils, and we've got to get rid of the Bible and all those that preach the Bible. Because we know that if people start believing that they're going to put us to death. The ones that are really worthy, God says, to be put to death. Now in the New Testament, they'll say, well, Jesus said, you know, that don't resist evil. In other words, if it's done to us, you know, like if they come and kill us or smite us on the face, turn the other cheek. But then in the New Testament, it also says, resist the devil. Amen?
Amen.
And give no place to the devil. But he says, he never said, Jesus said, I didn't come to do away with the law. Well, if he didn't come to do away with the law, then the law is for the lawless. Amen?
Amen.
And if they're just up there bragging that we slaughtered these people over at Waco and we take full responsibility for it, and they're allowed to walk around smiling and opening up libraries and doing all the things that they're doing, well then, you people in the world, whoever you are that are listening to this tape, you're getting exactly what you deserved. Used to be in this world that you'd be able to walk down the streets when they used to have a death penalty for people that committed murder. They used to have a penalty, and people that had people in the church that disobeyed orders that you're to be put out of the church. And you think that God wants his people to have mercy on that? Well, then we'd have a lawless church. A church where there's nothing but a bunch of liars and people that want to do whatever they want to do. Well, there is no such real church like that of the Lord. And there's no such people that are going to assist Balak or the Pope or any government agency in destroying God's chosen people. Naturally, only the criminals and the evil people in the world want to do away with God's chosen people. And God's chosen people must beware that if you sin, then God will let these demons come in and destroy you, just as he did these Israelites. God hasn't changed in his thinking. Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy the law, I came to fulfill it, to make sure that it gets done. Okay, so if somebody smacks you on the face, turn the other cheek, that means if somebody does something evil to you, continue keeping the gospel. Keep continue keeping the commandments. Don't think that God's word is going to be void. Continue within the power of God so that you can be self-assured, not yourself, but you can be very assured that you're going to go into the kingdom of heaven. We can have self-assurance that if we keep the commandments of the Lord, we can be self-assured that we're going to be in the kingdom of God. But it's the Lord's assurance from His word that tells us that. And that's why we have to mature in faith. When the Lord says we have to grow up into the fullness of the stature of the Lord's maturity in faith, because Jesus was faithful in every point, even to where God told Him to die for the sins of the world, He went to the cross for it. Now, where does Balaam think he's going to get off by being hired by Balak to curse the Jews? And yet he keeps coming back, and then he counsels them how that the Jews can get cursed. All you got to do is send a bunch of whores in there, get them wearing some mini skirts and go topless. And, of course, they're going to commit fornication with them. Now, go in there and do that. And then, I know God will destroy them. And so they followed Balaam's, supposed to be, Balaam's advice. And sure enough, it worked. He followed the devil's advice. He followed the Antichrist advice. Balaam is the one that gave Balak the idea to do that. I'm supposed to be prophet. And he was a prophet. And that's why all these people that say once saved, always saved are dirty, rotten, filthy, scummy liars. You have to defend yourself, put on the whole armor of God. If you can just be saved and do anything you want, then what's the armor of the Lord for? Why you put it on?
Verse 4. And Moab said unto the elders of Midian, Now shall this company lick up all that are round about us, as the ox licketh up the grass of the field. And Balak, the son of Zippor, was king of the Moabites at that time.
Yeah, just like the Pope says he's king, and that he has the right to destroy anybody he wants to kill, born again of the spirit Christians, to get rid of them and God's chosen people to choose. They're our enemies. Satan says. You better believe we're your enemies, Satan.
Amen.
You better believe it. But we use the word of the Lord, and we counsel the people of government to keep the law of God, because if you don't, you're going to wind up in hell. All you top officials. And you presidents, you better wise up and stop doing the things you're doing. Because if you listen to the Antichrist in Rome, you're going to spend eternity in hell with him. Then what?
Verse 5. He sent messengers therefore unto Balaam, the son of Beor, to Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people.
Yeah, he sent messages to God's prophet. Then what?
To call him, saying, Behold, there is a people come out from Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Verse 6. Come now therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure I shall prevail.
Yeah, because the people of the Lord are too mighty for the devils. And they say that, anyone that sins has got to be put to death. And we know that these people of the Lord are coming in here to slaughter us, because we have killed our own children and we're murderers. And the people of the United States have put 40 million babies to death. They're murderers, these women, and the people that run the abortion parlors, and the government that condones it. They're all murderers, and they're going to spend eternity in hell for it if they don't stop and cease and desist. All these presidents have allowed these things to go on and didn't speak out, even though the Pope, like Balak, was telling them to make sure that you don't change those laws. They should have done what the Lord said instead of the Pope. Amen?
Amen.
They should have done what the Lord said rather than the devil. Because now those that have done that and have died, they're in hell now. Okay, and then what else?
Peradventure I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land. For I wot that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and he whom thou cursest is cursed.
Who said that?
King.
Yeah, King Balak, right?
Yes.
Amen. He knows that if you curse somebody, if God curses them, then they will be cursed. And God won't curse them, not until they start committing adultery, fornication, or if they become homosexual or lesbians. Well, why do you think all these homosexuals and lesbians are dying like flies and catching AIDS? Do you think that Mother Nature is doing that? There's no such thing as Mother Nature. That's stuff that the media says. It's God. He said he's doing it. And if you don't believe it, you will. Then what?
Verse 7, and the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of divination in their hand. And they came...
In other words, they came with some money to pay Balaam off for cursing the Jews. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
And they came unto Balaam and spake unto him the words of Balak.
Mm-hmm. Then what?
Verse 8, and he said unto them, lodge here this night, and I will bring you word again, as the Lord shall speak unto me.
Yeah, that's like these Christians saying, come on in, priests, cardinals, pope, and lodge here with me tonight. You're not even supposed to wish them Godspeed. You're not even supposed to fellowship with them at all. And here Balaam, prophet of God, says, come on in, Satan. And they seek the Lord. Then what?
And the princes of Moab abode with Balaam.
And so these princes, you know, that call themselves their princes, the Pope calls himself the entire God of the earth, the entire God, the Holy Father, he calls himself. He's not welcome in my house, no matter how humble it is, he's not welcome here, okay? Wouldn't ever let him come in here. Okay, then what else?
Verse 9, and God came unto Balaam and said, what men are these with thee? Verse 10, and Balaam said unto God, Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, hath sent unto me, saying, verse 11, behold, there is a people come out of Egypt, which covereth the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them. Peradventure I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. Verse 12.
As if God didn't know who was living there, he asked him, who is living there? You nutcase. Don't you know you've got the devil in your house? Donkey? Okay, then what?
Verse 12. And God said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. Verse 13. And Balaam rose up in the morning and said unto the princes of Balak, get you into your land.
He said to like the Pope, get you into your land. All you people, the princes here, get out of here. Then what?
For the Lord refuseth to give me leave to go with you. Verse 14, and the princes of Moab rose up, and they went unto Balak, and said, Balaam refuseth to come with us. Verse 15, and Balak sent yet again princes, more and more honorable than they.
He won't take no for an answer, in other words, the Pope. This was, you know, back then that was the same as the Pope. And what else? So far as the children of Israel are concerned. Then what else?
Translation, verse 1 through 15. Balak sending Balaam, verse 1. Then the people of Israel traveled to the plains of Moab, and came east of the Jordan River, across from Jericho. Verse 2. Balak, son of Zippor, the Moabite king, knew what the Israelites had done to the Amorites. Verse 3. And when they saw how many Israelites there were, he and his people were terrified. Verse 4.
Yeah, just like the Pope and all the evil people of the world are terrified. That's why they want to destroy the Bibles. Get them out of the schools. Get them out of the courthouses. Because our judgments are so contrary to the Bible, we've got to get that out of there so people don't know how jacked up, how satanic we are. Get them out! It's terrifying us. They're terrified of the Word of God. Why do you think they're burning Christians? Why they've done this for centuries. the Vatican, the Antichrist. They've burned them at the stake, and they've fed them to the lions, and they've burned them at Waco, and they've killed them at the Spanish Inquisitions. They've killed President Lincoln, who was a born-again Christian. Millions of people they've killed. The devil does not want the Word of God out because it's his arch enemy. And Satan is God's arch enemy. And Jesus destroyed Satan on the cross at Calvary because he made a way for all sinners to become saints through the blood of Jesus and by the Spirit of God. Okay, then what?
Verse 4, the king of Moab said to the leaders of Midian, quote, "This mob will devour everything in sight, like an ox devours grass."
In other words, he's calling the children of God a mob. Like, they're not the mob. They're the real mafia, these people. Nowadays, they call us cults. They're the world's most dangerous and vicious cult, the Vatican, and all the people that follow them. That is the world's biggest cult. We are the minority. The Lord says we're like little lambs, pilgrims going through this world. This world is not any of ours. We are our world is the kingdom of God. Amen?
Amen.
And so we're to keep the Lord's commandments no matter what happens. Then what else?
So Balak, king of Moab, verse 5, sent messengers to Balaam, son of Beor, who was living in his native land of Pethor, near the Euphrates River. He sent this message to request that Balaam come to help him. Quote, "A vast horde of people has arrived from Egypt. They cover the face of the earth and are threatening me." Verse 6.
They weren't threatening him at all, any more than we're threatening anybody in this world. We're not killing anybody. We've never killed anybody, and we never will. Because even though the Lord says that people that commit murder should be put to death, that's the law. Okay, but we... And the people that are, you know, all the Moses was actually this the legal leader of Israel and also the spiritual leader. He was the government and the spiritual leader, the governmental leader and the spiritual leader. And that's the way it's supposed to be. If I were president of the United States, I would make sure that everybody that's bragging about killing somebody and taking full responsibility for it, that they'd be put to death. And you'd say, even President Clinton. Who does he think he is that he can just kill anybody that he wants? Who does that lesbian Janet Reno think she is that she can just kill anybody and then get away with it? And who does Bush think he is that he can just kill millions of people or hundreds of thousands of them and get away with it? Who does he think he is? The Pope has made them puffed up and made them... blew them full of gas and made them believe that they're somebody that they're not. The law of God is for everyone. No one is immune. Only the devil would make such rules as that. Yes, if I were president, I would do that. And if I were president, I would never let any homosexual or lesbian have a governmental office. Because the Lord says that those kind of people are not to have bare rule over any Christian. Now, this is why they want the Bible destroyed, because we tell them what God says. And when you people of the world condone such things as this, that's why you're living in terror, because you're condoning terrorists and murderers. And they're going to either kill you or God's going to come back and kill you for condoning these things. One third of the world's population is going to be destroyed at one time because you people are so wicked. Okay, go ahead then.
Verse 6. "Please come and curse them for me, because they are so numerous. Then perhaps I will be able to conquer them and drive them from the land."
Yeah, in other words, take their Bibles away, you know, curse them. Do something to them. But the Word of God won't let anybody be cursed that is not to be cursed. God is going to turn around and curse these people. God will curse the evil people that want the good people to be cursed. Now that's what's happening today, is the evil people are wanting the good people to be cursed. And in reality, what they're doing is just building a scaffold for themselves and throwing a noose right around their own neck in the eyes of God. And I want them to know that. In mercy, I want them to know that so that they repent. All right? Or be sure that what I'm telling you, what the Bible says, is that you're going to die.
and you're going to die without mercy. Because in the New Testament here, we don't have to do that. The Lord God himself promises that. There's like seven plagues coming here, and already many of them are here. The pestilence, the earthquakes, the famines, the floods, the drought. Pestilence means all these incurable diseases like cancer and AIDS and Ebola and leukemia and many others. So many that it's like the sands of the sea. Okay, then go ahead.
I know that blessings fall on people you've blessed. I also know that the people you curse are doomed.
Well, it's not him that can curse them, and he can't bless anybody that God doesn't bless. God says, I'll bless them that bless the Christians. The Jew. The Christians are the true Jews. We're the spiritual Israel. We happen to be the body of Christ, the church, and the New Jerusalem. We're the real Israelites. Okay, then what else?
Verse 7. Balak's messengers, officials of both Moab and Midian, set out and took money with them to pay Balaam to curse Israel.
Now, since Balaam is taking money, just like I hear some of these supposed-to-be preachers are taking money from the Vatican and laundering Vatican money through these false Christian, supposed-to-be Christian works. They tithe in maybe $1 billion, and then the Christian work will kick back a bunch of money. That's why we have to struggle, because we won't take their money. I've been offered $1 billion to lay off the preaching of the Word of God. And I told them, take your money and let it burn with you. And what else?
They went to Balaam and urgently explained to him what Balak wanted. Verse 8, quote, stay here overnight, unquote, Balaam said. Quote, in the morning I will tell you whatever the Lord directs me to say, unquote. So the officials from Moab stayed there with Balaam. Verse 9, that night God came to Balaam and asked him, quote, who are these men with you? Unquote.
As if God didn't know. He knows they're from the then Vatican. Okay? Then what?
Verse 10, so Balaam said to God, Balak, son of Zippor, king of Moab, has sent me this message. Verse 11, a vast horde of people has come from Egypt and has spread out over the whole land. Come at once to curse them. Perhaps then I will be able to conquer them and drive them from the land. Verse 12, quote, do not go with them, unquote, God told Balaam. Quote, you are not to curse these people, for I have blessed them, exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 13, the next morning, Balaam got up and told Balak's officials, quote, go on home, exclamation mark, the Lord will not let me go with you, unquote. Verse 14, so the Moabite officials returned to King Balak and reported, quote, Balaam refused to come with us, unquote. Verse 15, then Balak tried again. This time he sent a larger number of even more distinguished officials than those he had sent the first time. King James Version, verse 16, and they came to Balaam and said to him, thus saith Balak the son of Zippor, let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me. Verse 17, for I will promote thee unto very great honor.
And that's what the Pope says today. If you'll do anything I say, just like the devil told Jesus, if you'll bow down and do anything I say, if you, when I tell you to burn a bunch of people over at Waco, if you'll do that and you'll take the flak from the American people, and if you'll bomb the World Trade Center, and also the building over in the federal building over in Oklahoma City, and kill all those babies over there, and if you'll bomb Pearl Harbor, if you'll send, and then don't make sure that nobody, none of the government officials or the news media hears anything about it, and you need the news media, keep your mouth shut. I'll bless you so much, because what we're going to do is get rid of some of these American men here so that it'll be easy to invade America when we do. We're going to take the guns away from them, and we get rid of all the young manpower in all these wars that we're creating over here, so we can just march in. And in the meantime, we'll take their different industry away from them and send it back to Germany and Japan and China. and all the other countries, and we'll just split it up among them, all the wealth of America. If you'll do that, I'll make you president of the United States of America. And no matter what, now, if anybody says, yells at you and everything, I'll let you build walls around the White House so nobody kills you or anything, and I'll give you the whole United States Army, Navy, and Marines, and the Federal Reserve, or the Federal Guard, the National Guard, to guard you. And but you'll be rich, I'll make you wealthy, I'll give you, I hear that Bush has got $1.5 billion now, and he's president of the United States, and we'll even fix the election for you, and don't make any difference if people scream their head off, that's fine, if you'll just do what I say. And now, I want you to build a monument for me in Washington, D.C. now, and tell everybody you know that I'm the greatest person and that you're going to do everything that I tell you. And if you'll do that, you'll be wealthy enough to the National Guard, everybody's going to take care of you. Don't you worry about a thing now. Well, that's what they're offering here. And the devil offered Jesus the same thing, but Jesus wouldn't go for it. Amen?
Amen.
He said, get thee hence, Satan. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall you serve. For what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lost his eternal soul? Amen?
Amen.
All right, so you can't do... And now, if you want to be a lesbian, go ahead. But know this, or a homosexual, you want to be a pervert, well, then sure, do it. But know this, that you're going to wind up in hell. You want to be a liar? Well, do it. Go ahead, it's easy to lie. The easiest thing in the world is to lie. The easiest thing is to not resist the devil, like the Lord commands us to do. The easiest thing in the world is not pray, when the Lord says pray always. And the Bible says pray without ceasing. Yeah, don't do any of that stuff that I tell you to do. But know this, you're going to be in the pit of hell and in the lake of fire forever. Okay, now, let's read on.
And I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people.
Yeah, I'll give you anything you want. You want, huh? Want strawberry ice cream, the devil says? He's got not only 31 flavors, he's got 459,000 or million flavors. You know, whatever you like. You like rock ice cream or sand ice cream or chip, wood chips or vanilla, strawberry, chocolate, White House. That means that's vanilla with cherries in it. Tutti Frutti. You like Tutti Frutti? Oh, here it is. Just do what I tell you. Okay, what else?
Verse 18. And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more.
Yeah, but Balaam also says, I can't do anything other than what the Lord says, but I can tell you. Get your whores out there. Huh? Run them whores out of the whorehouse. Just get them out there on the front line with their little mini skirts on. Amen. And topless, you know. And go out there and do the rumba Cubanaw style, you know, in front of all those guys. Yeah, like Madame Azonga. Do her little conga. And, you know, then they'll sin. And then I'll have earned my money. But God won't, I can't do anything other than what he tells me, you know. They're keeping the Lord's commandments. Get them to sin. Okay, that's what he did. That's what this prophet, quote, prophet of God, did. That's why he had to die. Then what?
Verse 19. Now therefore I pray you, tarry ye also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more. Verse 20. And God came unto Balaam at night, and said unto him, if the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall say unto thee, that shalt thou do. Verse 21. And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. Verse 22. And God's anger was kindled because he went. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him.
Yeah, now, even the donkey was trying to say, look, you idiot, don't go. You're supposed to be a prophet of God, dingy, all right? Don't you know that God's going to kill you? Just like I'm telling these presidents and the kings of the world and the Pope and everybody. Don't follow them, okay, or you're going to die. Then what? And God sends jackasses like, you know, us poor Christians to warn you, to try to stand in your way, but you won't pay any attention. Okay? That's what you think we are, is a bunch of jackasses, right? Because we don't do what the Pope says. Right? Idiots. Then what?
Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. Verse 23. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way, and went into the field. And Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way.
Now Balaam said, come on, man, I'm going to go. You know? And the donkey says, hey, no, I'm not this. You can't see what I see. I see the angel of the Lord standing in front of me with a drawn-out sword. He's going to kill me. Okay, then what?
Verse 24. But the angel of the Lord stood in a path of the vineyards, a wall being on this side and a wall on that side.
Yeah, see, I told you it's the angel of the Lord. That means the Lord himself. Okay, then what?
Verse 25.
And that double-edged sword is the actual word of God. Then what else?
And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself unto the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote her again. Verse 26. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. Verse 27. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam, and Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff. Verse 28. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, what have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times? Verse 29. And Balaam said unto the ass, because thou hast mocked me, I would there were a sword in mine hand, for now would I kill thee. Verse 30. And the ass said unto Balaam, am not I thine ass, upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee? And he said, nay. Verse 31. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand, and he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. Verse 32. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. Verse 33. And the ass saw me and turned from me these three times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now also I had slain thee and saved her alive. Verse 34. And Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displease thee, I will get me back again.
If it displeases him, okay. If it displeases him. Well, the Lord allowed the donkey to get hit a few times, just like he allows us to get smitten a few times. But still, we can't go beyond the sword, the double-edged sword of the Word. The Word tells us what we can and cannot do, and we better not go any further than a donkey did. Amen?
Amen.
The donkey stopped. It would not go any further. And if he had, the donkey would have had his neck chopped off, and the guy riding him, Balaam, the same thing. Now, one thing I forgot to... I failed to say about this Bush bombing all those people over in Iraq. There wasn't even any... See, the Pope told him to do it because there's... And tell the media that there's weapons of mass destruction over there. You're going to be found to be a liar, but still, you know, take all the flack, or I'll do the same thing to you that I did to the Kennedy boys. I'll put you on the bench, or lay you on the slab. So Bush has gone so far now that he can't get out. And there's no way that we can possibly... we don't have any presidential choice to vote for. They're both Catholics. One says he's a born-again Christian, the other one says he's a Catholic. They're both Catholics. And the Vatican is very careful to make sure that there's no one that's going to run for president is not going to be obedient to the Pope, to the devil. It's Pope, the devil's vicar. Okay, now go ahead with the translation.
Translation verse 16 through 34. Verse 16, they went to Balaam and gave him this message, quote, "This is what Balak, son of Zippor, says. Please don't let anything stop you from coming. Verse 17, I will pay you well and do anything you ask of me. Just come and curse these people for me.
Yeah, I'll give you anything. I'll give you the whole world, the world government. I'll give you president. You can be a king. You can be whatever you want. I'll give it to you. Just take the Bibles out of school. Just make sure that you do everything I tell you. Just bomb Iraq. And just say there's weapons of mass destruction. And if the flak comes and hits you for this insane thing that I'm telling you to do, just take the punishment from them, because I'll back you up. Don't worry, nothing will happen to you. And that's why he acts so cocksure. And the same thing with Clinton. He's walking around after he lied to the American public, and after he said he takes full responsibility for Waco and all the other stupid, idiotic, insane things that he did that the Pope told him to do. We have pictures of him over there kissing the Pope's ring. All right, go ahead. These people are like scum to the Lord and to any of the people of the Lord. They got a nerve calling people cult. Then Clinton said that there's a lot of cults in Arkansas. No, he belongs to the one in Rome. Amen. The worst cult, the most dangerous bunch of... But of course, being with the Lord, we don't fear anything like that. We're the ones here in the United States that have the weapons of mass destruction, and that's exactly what that Saddam Hussein told him. He says, we don't have any weapons of mass destruction over here. You boys over there are the ones that are thumping your chest saying how mighty you, and Pope is, and Bush is saying, I'm a man of war. No, you're just a branch of the man of sin, of the Antichrist. You're one of the little Antichrists. Don't you know that to Christian, really real mature Christians, that you look like a dope? You remind me of the little dope, you know, in the Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs of Dopey. That's exactly what you look like to me. And all you people that follow the Antichrist Pope. Then what?
Verse 18. But Balaam answered them, quote, even if Balak were to give me a palace filled with silver and gold, I would be powerless to do anything against the will of the Lord my God. Verse 19.
Yeah, but I can show you how to do it later on, he says. Okay, then what else?
But stay here one more night to see if the Lord has anything else to say to me, unquote. Verse 20. That night God came to Balaam and told him, quote, since these men have come for you, get up and go with them, but be sure to do only what I tell you to do, unquote. Balaam and his donkey. Verse 21. So the next morning Balaam saddled his donkey and started off with the Moabite officials. Verse 22. But God was furious that Balaam was going, so he sent the angel of the Lord to stand in the road to block his way. As Balaam and two servants were riding along, verse 23, Balaam's donkey suddenly saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with a drawn sword in his hand.
Yeah, that's the same thing as this Russian sub that was going over to, it was a nuclear sub that had a nuclear device in it, and they were going, heading towards New York, and between New York and Washington, D.C., to blow the cities up, and the sub became very jinked. I mean, people were dying, and the nuclear device in there started leaking, and bunches of them started dying like crazy from the radiation, and... They had to turn around and go back. They had to, because they were all, their skin was like melting right off of their faces and off of their bodies, and they died. So God, if he doesn't want something to happen, he can put the screws to you, all right? Amen?
Amen.
He can give you the sixes. Okay, then what else?
The donkey bolted off the road into a field, but Balaam beat it and turned it back onto the road. Verse 24. Then the angel of the Lord stood at the place where the road was narrowed between two vineyard walls. Verse 25. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing there, it tried to squeeze by and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. So Balaam beat the donkey again. Verse 26. Then the angel of the Lord moved farther down the road and stood in a place so narrow that the donkey could not get by at all. Verse 27. This time, when the donkey saw the angel, it lay down under Balaam. In a fit of rage, Balaam beat it again with his staff. Verse 28. Then the Lord caused the donkey to speak, quote, "What have I done to you that deserves your beating me these three times?" it asked Balaam. Verse 29, quote, "Because you have made me look like a fool!" exclamation mark, unquote, Balaam shouted. Quote, "If I had a sword with me, I would kill you!" exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 30, quote, "But I am the same donkey you always ride on," the donkey answered. "Have I ever done anything like this before?" unquote. Quote, "No," unquote, he admitted. Verse 31. Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the roadway with a drawn sword in his hand. Balaam fell face down on the ground before him. Verse 32. Quote, "Why did you beat your donkey those three times?" unquote, the angel of the Lord demanded. Quote, "I have come to block your way, because you are stubbornly resisting me." Verse 33. Three times the donkey saw me and shied away. Otherwise, I would certainly have killed you by now and spared the donkey. Unquote. Verse 34. Then Balaam confessed to the angel of the Lord, quote, "I have sinned. I did not realize you were standing in the road to block my way. I will go back home if you are against my going." King James Version, verse 35.
If you are against my going, that's really something, you know. If. Okay, then what? I'm going to curse the Jews. If you're against that, I told you already several times, amen?
Amen.
Not to do that. And I told Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that I'll bless those that bless the Jews and curse those that curse them. And we're the true Jewish people today. Those of us that are filled with the Spirit and keeping God's commandments. Any of us that are supposedly filled with the Spirit and are liars and lusters and homosexuals, or they committing adultery with your eyes, or partaking in any of the lusts of the world or your flesh, the eyes, the flesh, and the pride of life, you're not a Christian. Why do I say? Because the Bible says so. God said so. That means you're wrong and He's right. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Verse 35. And the angel of the Lord said unto Balaam, "Go with the men, but only the word that I shall speak unto thee, that thou shalt speak. So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. Verse 36. And when Balak heard that Balaam was come, he went out to meet him unto a city of Moab, which is in the border of Arnon, which is in the utmost coast. Verse 37. And Balak said unto Balaam, "Did I not earnestly send unto thee to call thee? Wherefore camest thou not unto me? Am I not able indeed to promote thee to honor?"
Just like the Pope promoted the Bush to honor, and Clinton to honor, and FDR to honor, and the cigarette butt picking up Jimmy Carter. His wife, on the day they were inaugurated, they had these sticks with nails on the end of it, and they were going to show people that ecology is a real important thing. And so they walked down the gutters of New York or in Washington, D.C., stabbing cigarette butts and picking them up, him and his wife. Low class people. They wanted to open up an Alamo in Nashville. They came to me and asked me if I wanted to do that. Billy Carter, they sent Billy over. Remember Billy Bear? I said, well, only one of my stores would probably be a lot better than, more lucrative than your peanuts, flame peas. He says, oh, yeah. He said, it'd be a damn sure a lot better than that. He said, we don't make much money. I didn't say it. He did. Okay, then what else?
Verse 38.
We'll give him a franchise, huh? Okay, then what?
And Balaam said unto Balak, Lo, I am come unto thee. Have I now any power at all to say anything?
And those that believe in the Lord shall be saved, and those that don't, the Bible says, shall be damned. So damned is not a curse, a profanity, all right? But you're not supposed to use it like he did, all right? He says, a damn sight better than peanuts. No, you're supposed to say, well, if you don't keep the commandments, you'll be damned. Amen?
Amen.
Now, that's not a curse. That's not profanity. Then what?
The word that God putteth in my mouth, that shall I speak. Verse 39. And Balaam went with Balak, and they came unto Kirjath-Huzoth. Translation, verse 35 through 39. But the angel of the Lord told him, quote, Go with these men, but you may say only what I tell you to say, unquote. So Balaam went on with Balak's officials. Verse 36. When King Balak heard that Balaam was on the way, he went out to meet him at a Moabite town on the Arnon River at the border of his land. Verse 37. Quote, Did I not send you an urgent invitation? Why didn't you come right away? Unquote, Balak asked Balaam. Quote, Didn't you believe me when I said I would reward you richly? Unquote.
Yeah, like the Pope orders you to go over to see him. And if you take a lot of time, he's going to say, Listen, I'm the ruler of the world, and why would you take a long time to come and see me? Did I not offer you, did you not think that it was within my power to give you as much of anything that you want? Okay, go ahead.
Verse 38. Balaam replied, quote, I have come, but I have no power to say anything. I will speak only the message that God gives me, unquote. Verse 39. Then Balaam accompanied Balak to Kirjath-Huzoth.
That goes to show that it isn't so much what you say, it's what you do. Because he said the right things, but then he instructed them in the wrong things of how to make people sin so that God could curse them. So his deeds, so that he could make his word truthful. Well, now the Lord says that he will curse them. So he remains truthful, but his deeds were so evil that he got killed and went to hell. So don't think that you're going to out-slick God with your twisted version. I see even people in the churches do that sort of thing. They lead people into sin. They lay traps for people, and then they do it, and they think, look, if they sinned. But they don't take into account that God knows that they caused them to sin. Then what?
Verse 40. And Balak offered oxen and sheep, and sent to Balaam and to the princes that were with him. Verse 41. And it came to pass on the morrow that Balak took Balaam and brought him up into the high places of Baal, that thence he might see the utmost part of the people. Translation, verse 40 through 41. Where the king sacrificed cattle and sheep, he sent portions of the meat to Balaam and the officials who were with him. Verse 41. The next morning, Balak took Balaam up to Bamoth Baal. From there, he could see the people of Israel spread out before him. Okay. Commentary now.
All right, that was the last verse of chapter 22 of Numbers, and now I've got some commentary, as though I haven't commented already. Then what?
Chapter 21 through chapter 31, verse 54. This story of the Israelites and the Moabites involves three pictures. One, the Moabites recruit a prophet from Mesopotamia to curse Israel, though he can only bless them, chapters 22 through 24. Two, the Israelites fall prey to the worship of Baal Peor, which involved sacred prostitution with Moabite women, chapter 25, verse 3. The attack on Midian in vengeance for their role in the Baal Peor apostasy, chapter 31. Chapters 26 through 30 deal with another census and miscellaneous laws. 22 verse 1 through 14. The subject of this passage is a recruitment of Balaam. Verses 2 through 21 tell how Balaam was recruited. Verses 22 through 35 narrates a stern warning that Balaam receives on the way. And verses 36 through 41 prepare for the oracles of Balaam that follow in chapters 23 and 24. 22 verse 1. The plains of Moab was the traditional name of the area. It had been taken from Moab by Sihon the Amorite, see chapter 21 verse 26, who was defeated by Israel. Israelite territory and the staging area for the conquest of the Promised Land, it later became part of the Promised Land. The remaining events of the books of Numbers and Deuteronomy take place here. 22 verse 4. The elders of Midian are from the territory south and east of Moab. They are shown here as co-conspirators because of the destruction in chapter 31. See also 21 verse 7. 22 verse 5. Balaam was from Mesopotamia, near the Euphrates. This is a distance of about 400 miles, nearly a month's journey one way. 22 verse 6. Balak, like all lawyers from the ancient world, believes that the outcome of battles is determined by the gods. Therefore, he believes the curse would enable him to defeat the Israelites. 22 verse 8. The Lord in Hebrew is Yahweh, the name of the Israelite God. Balaam is seen as one who hears Yahweh, a prophet, even though not an Israelite. See verse 18. 22 verse 9, quote, God came to Balaam, unquote, does not specify the means of revelation. Since it is at night, probably it is a vision or a dream. 22 verse 13, in this first instance, Yahweh forbids Balaam to go. Since the Lord Yahweh later lets Balaam go, this refusal is best seen as a means of stressing the intention of Yahweh for the Israelites. See verse 12. 22 verse 20. Permission is given to go, but Balaam is held in tight rein as the first refusal, verse 12, has shown. 22 verse 22 through 25, through 35. The account concerning Balaam's donkey serves as a warning to Balaam. Balaam, as a prophet, should have been the one to see the angel of the Lord. Instead, his donkey does. Balaam's desire to kill his donkey with a sword, verse 29, is ironic since he is the one whose life is threatened by the sword of the angel. Balaam's prophetic insight has been blinded by the prospects of rewards. Verse 22. God is apparently angry because of Balaam's readiness to go without questioning the implications for Israel. Balaam is later chastened for his reckless attitude. Verse 32. There is also a hint that he may not fully obey and that he may speak more than God says. Verse 35. 22 verse 32. Quote, perverse, unquote, connotes a recklessness or willingness to profit by gain. 22 verse 39. Kirjath-Huzoth's location is unknown at the time. 22 verse 40. Offered means to offer as a pagan sacrifice. Balaam and the princes who had recruited him apparently ate these animals. 22 verse 41. The high places of Baal were sanctuaries where the Moabites worshipped. Some take this as a place named Bamoth Baal. See Joshua 13:17. 22 verse 1 through 20. Balaam was a Mesopotamian magician. Joshua chapter 13 verse 22. Balaam also, the son of Beor, the soothsayer, did the children of Israel slay with the sword among them that were slain by them. He was hired by Balak, king of Moab, to place a curse on Israel. King Balak wanted to prevent the Israelites from conquering Moab and the surrounding lands. Balaam, evidently a man of great spiritual status, openly admitted that he had no power to go beyond the will of God. He could not place a curse on the people whom God desired to bless. This should help us realize that when it seems that everything or anyone or everyone is against us, we can be sure that God can protect us and provide us with the wisdom to survive through the toughest situations. James 1:2-5. 22:22-35. The humorous story of Balaam and his donkey illustrates Balaam's spiritual blindness. With respect to the true God, as a specialist in divination, Balaam would often have believed upon signs from animals and nature to determine the future. In this situation, however, he had less spiritual perception than his donkey, and was prevented from carrying out a diabolical plot against Israel. From Balaam we learn that even the greatest human wisdom often leads to spiritual blindness. True wisdom to face life situations comes only from the sovereign, all-knowing God.
Praise the Lord. That was the book of Numbers, chapter 22. And we'll be doing chapter 23 later on this evening, God willing. Until then, I pray that all these lessons and the information that you receive from this tape will help you clarify the confusion that's here on earth and help you cause you to know the right thing to do and to stay away from the wrong thing to do, especially for today, because it's written that we're to stand firm in the Lord one day at a time. Until chapter 23, God bless you and praise the Lord.